Good morning, church. Please rise as you are able. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all of my grain and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' And so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." That was Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Okay, so as I mentioned before, our senior pastor, Reverend Kevin Shelton, is on vacation. And so last week we were blessed to have one of our own give us a lesson in Lori Bruin. So she did a wonderful job of giving us some new things to think about. This week, in true fashion, we have a guest speaker come with us, and that's the Reverend Mark Struckoff, who has joined us. Let me introduce you to him just a little bit. The Reverend Mark Struckoff currently serves as the director of the Clergy and Church Financial Ministry at the Missouri United Methodist Foundation. He's a retired United Methodist clergy from the Missouri Conference and the former executive director of the Council of Churches of the Ozarks, where he served for 12 years. Mark also served as the U.S. director of the Rainbow Network in Nicaragua. Mark is a graduate of Southern Methodist University, Missouri State University, and a U.S. Navy veteran. Originally from the St. Louis area, Mark has more than 30 years of experience serving congregations and nonprofit organizations. Let me introduce to you the Reverend Mark Struckoff. Welcome, sir. Is this for you? There you go.
Thank you, Kip. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a great welcome. I am... And thank you. What a gifted congregation you guys are. I am so happy to be with you today. I've been looking forward to this for a while because I love road trips. And I made a little road trip to come see you from Columbia. That's where I live now and work with the foundation. And just by way of introduction, that next slide, this is just to give you a little bit of orientation. The Missouri United Methodist Foundation is really kind of how the C2FM, that's the Clergy and Church Financial Ministry, was born out of the foundation. And those of you who know a little bit about the Missouri United Methodist Foundation might know that we receive gifts that help advance the mission of the churches, the United Methodist churches in the state of Missouri. And so our job is to be stewards of all those gifts and invest them wisely so that they can return income back to churches to help them be more sustainable. And so we do that. And so it's kind of our sort of our niche to really lean in to the conversations about money. And so when I saw this text on Kevin's list of possible sermon texts or texts that he wanted this road theme to be about, I said, "Well, that's me. I got to be there for that one." I'm delighted. Part of what I do with the Clergy and Church Financial Ministry, C2FM, is I get to work with individual clergy a lot, and I get to do what I call I have unhurried, heartfelt conversations, okay, with clergy about their finances, their personal finances. This might shock some of you. Did you know that pastors are a lot like people? One of my favorite pastors happens to be Kevin Shelton, your pastor, and Kevin has got such a big heart, and Kevin and I go way back. Before Kevin became a pastor, we were in a covenant group together, about 30 years ago. But at any rate, this financial ministry that we do grants right directly into the lives of pastors and their families to help them reduce debt if they have like student loan debt, consumer debt, help them to get into that space of financial freedom so that they can become all that God wants them to be in and for the church, right? And to frankly liberate other people, because so many people are in what I would call a real bondage to money. And so getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. See, talking about money is one of the big taboos in the church. Did you know that? That's actually true. I've had a lot of pastors tell me, oh, Mark, at my church, they've told me the first time I talk about money at all, they just say, after the service, they'll come up and say, well, Pastor, we just don't talk about money here. Yeah, it happens. So anyway, I love doing what I do, because I think it's the cutting edge of moving the church forward in the world so that we can become more fully in love with God. That's one of Wesley's admonitions for us, right? Don't do any harm, do good, and stay in love with God. Yeah. So I love doing what I do, and we're going to take a road trip. This is a great, I love this little quote from Mark Twain. He said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of people and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime. Yeah. Traveling will shape a person. I left home at the age of 18 and joined the Navy because I was from a family that didn't have enough money to send me to college, frankly. And I knew that if I got in under the wire before they cut off the GI Bill, I could get the GI Bill to pay for college when I got out, and that's what I did. And so traveling, love traveling. I went to Italy with the U.S. Navy and also went to Iceland. And so I got to see a bit of the world, just like they said I would. Yeah. And then I've never lost a travel bug, and I'll just flip through these slides. I love going west. Love going west. You can just roll through these if you don't mind. That's the Snake River, and got to float the Snake River, and that's in Yellowstone. And if you haven't been there, oh my goodness, what a beautiful place God has made. And the whole world is full of God. I love how St. Bonaventure put it. St. Bonaventure is one of the interpreters of Francis of Assisi. St. Bonaventure said, God is the one whose center is everywhere. Think about that. If you're a mathematician in geometry, the center, right? God is the one whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere, is boundless, right? There is no bounds to God. This is the gift we've been given. Paul put it this way, God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. And I love how Sam Song put it this morning, because we all know God is love, right? That you could put it this way, we live and move and have our being in love. Yeah, there's one of my favorite writers, a mystic. Oh my goodness, he put it this way. Teilhard de Chardin, he said, this is maybe beyond the scope, but he said the physical structure, he was a paleontologist, so he knew something about science. He said the physical structure of the universe is love. Now, I set all that up for us this morning because I think it's a good context for this text this morning. This little parable that Jesus shares about a rich man, right? A rich man who had some designs. I'm wanting to help us kind of recognize too that the journeys that we take are physical. We get out in the world, but there are inner journeys that we're invited to take as Christian people. And I love how St. Augustine put it. He said, people travel to wonder at the height of the mountains, at the huge waves of the seas, at the long courses of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and they pass by themselves without wondering. Yeah. What a wonder God has made in you. And we're invited to go deeper, this inner journey, to come to know who we are in God. St. Francis used to repeat this prayer over and over. He said, "Oh God, who are you? And who am I?" I want to commend that prayer to you. Oh God, who are you? And who am I? This is part of what this rich man story that Jesus is telling is really all about, I think. Right? He's asking himself a question. It reminds me of a story of a little girl who's about four and a half years old. And she was very excited to go on a journey. She was traveling by air with her mother. And she gets to the airport, and she's holding her mom's hand tight as can be. But when she gets to that big window where she can see those planes landing and taking off, she just goes for it. She's standing there watching those planes, loving every minute. And then pretty soon, they call for them to board, and they board the plane, and the little girl sitting next to her mother, and they take off in that big jet. And she sits next to her mother, and she's squeezing her hand, and then once they reach a certain point when they're kind of leveled out, she leans over to her mother and she says, "Mommy, Mommy, when do we get smaller?" What a great question. Isn't that beautiful? Think about that question. You see, she just had studied so much about those planes taking off and going. And of course, as we know, life teaches us lessons that things aren't always as they appear, right? That's what I think is happening in this story. Somehow this rich man, and I gotta say, I think he, even though this story was told 2,000 some years ago, we still struggle with asking ourselves good questions. And Jesus illustrates that inside, this inner conversation that we have with ourselves, especially about daily things like money and security and happiness, right? See, this is where, being a Christian, we're invited to go on this inner journey with Jesus to really press against what appears to be true in the world, right? What appears to be true, but really press questions against that. And here's what I want to press against, and that is these myths that the consumer culture we live in really sort of makes us swim in that water all the time. And here are three main myths, and I'll even say I think they're lies that our consumer culture tries to tell us. That, number one, that things bring us happiness and security. Things bring us happiness and security. And it looks like that's true, doesn't it? It looks true. But is it? Is it? My guess is that you've seen something so beautiful at some point in your life that it brought tears to your eyes. Am I right? Something so beautiful. You couldn't do anything but emote and feel something deep that it made you cry. Maybe not weep, but just made your eyes wet. You know what I'm saying? Something so beautiful. And it wasn't anything you could buy or possess, right? Somebody, I heard this one time, that those tears are actually tears of grief because we know somehow that beauty won't last. But something tells me, as a Christian, the beauty does last. There is a yes in you that says yes to God, and that's part of the beauty. And that yes to God will always be inside of us. Yeah. Things bring us happiness. Let's ask the question, is that really true? What about debt? Our consumer culture tells us that debt is unavoidable, that it's expected. But is that really true? I know a lot of people that are convinced that that's true. And they carry the burden that comes with that belief. This burden that they seem to never, ever escape. I'm reminded of something about the call that Jesus is responding to in his own life. Remember earlier in Luke, and by the way, the Gospel of Luke, if you want to do a reading that'll help orient your life around money, read the Gospel of Luke. It's almost every page. Luke talks about money. Yeah. At any rate, Jesus says, I've come to proclaim what? Good news. To who? The poor. To set free the prisoner. To give sight to the blind. To set the oppressed free. See, Jesus has this inner commission, this compass, this true north in him that is all about freeing people from the things that are constraining them. That's what grace does. It sets us free. And why are we free? We're free to love God, to stay in love with God, as John Wesley put it. Yeah. The last lie that I want to expose that I think is before us all the time, and that is the myth of a little more. You know what I mean? Some of you know, I lived like this for so long. If I just had a little more money, I'd be just fine. Just a little more. The myth of a little more is something that will continue to be what drives the engine, I think, of our consumer culture. Now, I will tell you, I woke up this morning in a nice room here at a hotel, and I got up and I turned on the hot water and it was there, and I was safe all night. So our consumer culture delivers some pretty good things, don't get me wrong. And I thank God for them. But when our, as Jesus put it this way, when we put our hearts on those things, when he said it like this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now, isn't that interesting? He didn't say where your heart is, your treasure. No, he said where your treasure is, there your heart will be. See, our hearts are little treasure engines. Our hearts are made that way. We will impart treasure and meaning to things in life. And so we have to be careful where we put that. And Jesus is saying, oh, be careful with greed, because this is, just watch out. Don't lose your step, because this is where you might put your focus, your heart, in the things that really aren't going to last and won't bring you true happiness and won't bring you security and might even bind you up. Yeah. There was a man who was paying real close attention in church, and he was thinking about joining the church, and he was paying real close attention to what the pastor said about becoming a member of the church. By the way, I like what Pastor Kevin said about, you know, being a Christian is not joining the church. It's following Jesus. That's what I remember he said that a couple weeks ago. Anyway, this man was listening real close, and so he decided he was going to join the church, and he knew that meant being baptized, because he paid close attention to all that. So they had baptism Sunday. They go down to the river, and the man is ready to go, and the pastor wades into the water, and here the man wades in too, and the pastor notices that the man reaches into his back pocket, and he grabs his wallet, and he holds it up over his head. And the pastor says, what are you doing? And the man says, well, Pastor, I heard you say that when we get baptized, everything that goes under the water belongs to God. Should have asked a few more questions, right? This is how John Wesley put it. By the way, I grew up Catholic, but I love John Wesley. I became a Methodist pastor because I thought, this guy's onto something. And he said, that's why I was quoting so many Catholics, by the way. But this John Wesley said, you know, everything belongs to God. We're just stewards. We're here to be caretakers of the good things, all manner of good that money can do is your job. You get the joy of managing things for God. You're not the proprietor. That's how Wesley put it. He used to preach sermons about money all the time, and they had a revival. Yeah. Yeah, so I close just with this thought, a couple of antidotes to greed, right? Tips for the road. In that inner conversation you have with yourself, you know, if you feel that impulse, if you think I might be wanting to draw things a little closer in, hold more control, get a little more security, if you're feeling that, try gratitude for what you have. Try generosity in giving, right? Gratitude, generosity, the two tracks that take us on the journey and keep us true and keep us from falling in the ditch of greed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God's people said,
amen.